Monday the 25th of June, Reb Shloimeh Zimmerman, an introduction to Seder Taharos.
Rabbi Yisrael, what is this Shir all about? There's a Seder called Taharos. It's a sixth of Shas, and if this makes sense, it's a very big sixth of Shas. It's very, very geschmack. It's very difficult. But for some reason, Seder Taharos strikes terror in everybody's heart. People are confused by the terminology of Taharos. They are scared. People open up Taharos, recognize Taharos, or they come across the word Medrash and a Sugya somewhere in Shas, and they start getting a little bit, what's the word, a bit woozy, a bit hazy. What is Taharos all about? Mashiach will come today, tomorrow, and halachas like Ribbis, Mukta, Brochus will came up, pale into insignificance compared to Hilchas Taharos. Hilchas Taharos will be an inyan which we will be dealing with every single minute of our day, and yet we hardly know anything about it. So I'm hoping, with the help of the handout, just to provide a framework, not even a hakadomah to the Seder, a framework in which we can slot in various ideas of Taharos. Every time we come across an inyan in Taharos, we can somehow or other understand where it fits into the bigger picture, understand some of the common terminology which Chazal use, which people find very confusing. It's not a hakdom, we've only got 28 minutes to do the Seder Taharos, so let's start. On this piece of paper you will see six sections. There's Mekoiris HaTuma, the origins of Tuma, where does Tuma start from, what are the sources of Tuma. Next you have Mekablin. What can be Mekabel Tuma? What can become Tuma from a source? The third section is Shalshelet HaAvora, which literally means the chain of transmission. In Tuma, Tuma starts somewhere. That Tuma gets transferred to another object. A is Metame B, B is Metame C. But that doesn't go on forever, so we have to know exactly how far the chain goes. Four, Oifame HaAvora. So we know we have our Tuma starting somewhere, we know it goes across to another object, but what we don't know is the methods of transmission. There are different ways, according to the materials, according to the objects, and according to the type of Tuma, there are different ways that Tuma is transferred from one object to another object. Tara mit Tuma. No point in taking driving lessons if you don't know where the brake is. You've got to know how Tuma stops. And the last one is Lamai Naskemina. It's all very nice knowing all the halachas of Tuma and Tara, but who cares? So what if you're Tomei? So we have to know which parts of Torah are affected, which parts of our life will be affected because of Tuma Tara. This is, I think, a summary of all the main areas of Seder Taharos. So let's go back through them, and each one will take a few minutes. Mekoiris HaTuma. Tuma always starts somewhere. Chazal used the word an av hatumah to describe a source of tumah. A father is always a source of children, and therefore an av hatumah is the source of tumah. The only source of tumah which Chazal do not use the word av hatumah for, of course, is tumas meis, because tumas meis is chomor. They use the word avi avos. Because there is a tumah called avi avos hatumah, a person who is mekabel tumah from an avi avos is called by Chazal an Av, because he's the next generation down. But he's really not an Av HaTumah, because he's not a source of Tumah, but it's useful to use that label. So generally speaking, an Av HaTumah is a source of Tumah. And all sources of Tumah are called Avos HaTumahs. There are many sources of Tumah. Tumah starts in many, many places. But the two main categories, headings, under which we can define origins of Tumah are Misa and Klei HaLeda. Death causes Tumah. Death of a person, death of a behemoth, whether the behemoth is a kosher behemoth or not a kosher behemoth, as long as it's not a kosher behemoth which was shechted, that dead animal will be an Ava Tumah. All reptiles and insects are tohor when they're dead, except for the eight specified ones in Parsha Shmini. So you get mice and frogs and things like that, but generally flies and snakes, dead ones will be tohor. All dead fish are tohor, so we can keep on eating our herring after Mashiach comes. Birds are all tohor, dead birds, except for Nivlas Oif HaTohor, which is a specific exception, which is the tamay when you eat it. But generally speaking, Mace, I've got their mace, nevela, and sheretz, where I mean the eight shirotim, and I put in their tsaras as well, because tsaras is a source of tumah, and it's under the category of misa, as we know in Parshas Baloscha, Almor, Sehika, Mace. Tsaras is a bit of dead flesh. So that's the first source of tumah. The second source of tumah is klei haleda. These are the reproductive organs of the male and female. They're also a source of life, and in a way that is part of death. The reason why there's tumah from klei haleda is because they denote, they represent an absence of life in the cycle of nidan, zov, and zova. These here we have zov, zova, nidah, and yeledes and keri. These are all avos hatumas. They're sources of tumah, and apart from these two headings, misa and klei haleda, there are a few little sources of tumah to do with kodshim and the bismikdash, but that's not under the general rule. So they are your sources of tumah. Okay? Next, mekablim. What in this whole universe can be mekabel tumah? Again, there are three headings only. There's an odom. A Jewish person can be mekabel tumah. Not a goy, not a live animal, not an unborn child. Any Jewish person, from the second that he's born, can be mekabel tumah. The next heading is kelim. Kelim is the most difficult, most complex of the headings under mekabelim. A kli is basically a man-made utensil out of specified materials, and this man-made utensil has a tashmish, it has a function. The kli must be complete. The Torah tells us which materials kelim can be made from, and according to the material there are different halachas as to how that kelim must be made and how tumah is transmitted into the kelim or from the kelim. The basic headings of materials for kelim to be mekabel tumah or matches, eight metals. The Torah specifies six metals: gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead. There is a debate in the Poskim whether these six metals are dafka, these six metals, if it's prescriptive, because that would be a big nafka minute today if there's aluminium on the plains, and that's the shayla in the Poskim, whether these six metals are dafka, those six, and that's a big nafka minute for kohenim today. Eight, wood, again, has different dinim in the way it is formed from a kli matkas. There's cheres, earthenware. We all know cheres is different, the fact that it has something called an avir, which we'll discuss later. Oil, there's leather. Leather, basically, leather goods, leather kelim, have the same din as eights. Begodin, that's by far the most complex. Very difficult to define. A beged is actually, it's fabric. It's not necessarily a kli. It could even be a piece of cloth. But it must have a function. And it's made out of soft materials. It doesn't have to be woven, and according to many poskim, they can even be synthetic. And finally, I put in zechuchis, because zechuchis, although it's midrabbanon, and this chart is only dealing with tumas deraisa, but glass is there. Rabbanon will go at tumah on glass, and that's why we table glass today. The third element in the universe that is mekabel tumah is oichelin u'mashkin, food and drink. There is nothing else in this world apart from these headings that can be mekabel tumah. Right. Done a third of Taurus in 10 minutes. Huh? That's enough. Yeah, okay. But Baruch Hashem for plastic. When Mashiach comes, we'll have to do a transition period. That everything will go over to plastic. That will help. That's not the problem. It's clothes. Some people say you can wear polyester clothes. According to a lot of poskim, polyester clothes are still mekabel tumah. So that's going to be very difficult. You use plastic for your dishes, for eating. And for sitting on, but fabric is very difficult to live without fabric. So you have paper clothes.
Paper dish,
all fine. Yeah, all kitchenware will be fine. But the problem is
non-woven.
Sorry,
non-woven.
Felt is mekabel tumah. Yes, as long as it's pressed into a beged. The Sama says only drabonon. It seems from the poskim it doesn't have to be woven. Knitted stuff is mekabel tumah.
Because today there's non-woven materials. Everything is made in non-woven.
Yeah. I don't know. There are, I mean,
it's a new way of
maybe that would be some sort of heter. You have to ask the local rov. Next, Shalshelet Ha'avora, the chain of transmission. Tumah starts, originates somewhere, and it can go on to a makabel. How many times can it go on? Again, I've broken it down to four headings according to the makabling. An odom, a human being can only be an av. He can be an av because he got tumah from a mace. Or he can be an av because he is himself a source of tumah. And he can be a rishon. That's it. He cannot be a sheni. He can only, he stops at the level of rishon. Kalim are very similar to Adam, and I put in brackets chutz mikli cheres, because kli cheres always has different rules. A kalim basically can be an av and a rishon like an Adam. The only difference is kalim has a famous chumra called chalal cheres. In the case of mace only, a kalim picks up the same tumah, the same level of tumah as the thing that was metameit. So if a kalim was in the vicinity, was in contact with a mace, the keli will become an avia voice like the mace. Or if a keli touched an avatumah of mace, then he would become, instead of becoming a rishon, he would become an avatumah. But apart from that exception, the levels always go down, and kelim are the same as Adam. They can be an av or a rishon. Kli cheres has only got one state. It cannot become an avatumah. It has a different status, because it actually, the way the Torah tells us this is because it can't go into the mikveh. We see from the pasuk that if something can't go into the mikveh, it cannot become an av. And a kli cheres can only become a rishon. If a sheretz is metame a kli cheres, you put a sheretz in a kli cheres, that kli cheres becomes a rishon, and it can therefore make food and drink into a sheni, but that's the only state a kli cheres can be. Oichel and Amashkin are on a lower level. The whole group of Oichel and Amashkin start off on a lower level. They cannot get into the Aviyah voice, into the Av range. Even if you have Oichel and Amashkin in an Oil HaMeis, the highest they can get is to be a Rishon. Once you have Oichel and Amashkin as a Rishon, they therefore have a long chain after them. They can go down to Sheni. The only thing that can be a Sheni in this world is an Oichel and Amashkin. So food and Mashkin can be mitame each other, going from Rishon to Sheni. Once the food is a sheni, it cannot be metame another food or drink, unless that oichel and amashkin is truma, and then the truma can carry on further and it becomes a shlishi. And in the case of kodeshim, the food can become, or the mashkin can become a ravine. And that's the shalshelet havara on the whole of the sefer Taurus. I don't think there's any exception to that. Now comes the tricky one. Oifamei ha'avara. So we've got our tumah starting somewhere. We've got our tumah landing on the kabbalah. And we know that that can be done for two or three stages, sometimes four. But what we haven't yet discussed, and this is probably one of the most difficult and most important parts of Sefer Taurus, is the way tumah transmits from object A to object B. I've got here three headings. These headings, Mada, Masa, and Oil, are actually loose headings. They're more simonim to remember the types of method of transmissions. So let's deal with the first one. Maga is the one we're all used to. That's the simplest one. And Maga applies across the board. Every single tumah, there may be one or two exceptions, very small exceptions, but generally speaking, you can assume that Maga, physical contact of object A to object B, applies across the board in all stages, and with all materials, whether it's Adam to Mashkin, Mashkin to Kalim, whatever it is, it's all physical, actual touch always transmits Tumah. That's the easy one. Under that heading, I've put Aver Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres is a very unusual hybrid. It's an unusual animal. A Kli Cheres hasn't got any intrinsic value. Its only value is the fact that it has a tashmish, it has a usage, you can put something inside, it's a receptacle. So the avir of the kli cheres, in a way, is more important than the actual walls of the kli. And that's why it has an exception, it's not matama through touch of the walls, it's the avir which is matami. But it's not like avir of Oil HaMeis. What it is actually, it's as if you touch, it's the touching of the avir. If you put a sheret into the space of the kli cheres, the reason why there's transmission of tumah is because it's maga, because the sheretz has touched the avir of a kli cheres. And similarly, a kli cheres can be metame, can pass on tumah through its avir. Once the kli cheres is tame, you hang a piece of food into the kli cheres, then the piece of food will become tame. Except you have to remember that kli cheres, once it is tame, can also be metame through touch on the outside wall. But when you see other kli cheres, it's sometimes easy to get it mixed up with tumas mes. It's basically a form of maga. Second, masa. Masa is the hardest line of the whole chart. Masa, generally we would translate as being lifting. First thing to know is not every tumma is transmitted through masa. Some tumas are and some tumas aren't. So a classic case of masa would be, let's say, a piece of Nevada. A piece of Nevada in our days would be a typical McDonald's beef burger. Right? That is a piece of Nevada. It's a kazayis, and of course it's mutami the mother. It's an avatama, anything that touches it becomes a rishon, but it is also mutami the masa. We all know the expression, mother, mother. What is masa? The first thing to know about masa is it only applies when the makabo is a human being, is an obon. And it does not mean lifting, it basically means moving. If a person brushes past a McDonald's bag with a beef burger inside and his elbow knocks it off the table, or he kicks it on the floor when he's walking on the street, he has been noisei es anavela. It's like touching an anavela, it's exactly the same, it's called masa. So whenever you see masa in the shav, masa means moving. It means when the ogon moves the tumah. It's as if he touches the tumah. It doesn't apply to every tumah, but a lot of tumahs are metame b'mada of a masa. It's one of the terminologies of Chazal, which sometimes appear misleading, is masa does not mean carrying, it means moving. The next two words are there, heset and medras. I'm sure you all come across the words, heset and medras, and they're sometimes difficult to understand what is heset and medras. Surely, I just told you, masa means moving, the heset also means moving. First thing to know is there's a group, we call them the gang of four, there's a group of tumas which are more chomer than the rest. They're called Zov, Zova, Nida, and Yeledes. Some people put Matzoya in that group as well. But let's stick to Zov, Zova, Nida, Yeledes. They have chumas which other tumas do not have. Not only are they metame b'maga, if you touch them, or b'masa, if you move them, they are also metame through two other methods, heset and medras. Don't be scared of these words. What heset means is, it's just the reverse of masa. That's all it is. Masa is when the human being, the makabo, the man, moves the thing which is tame. He pushes the nevel, he pushes the beef burger. Right? That's masa. Heset is, only applies to these four, where the tumah moves the makabo. So if a nida or yeledes walks past a chair or kicks a fork on the floor, then they will be mekabel tumah, and that's called heset. So it's just the reverse of masa. Masa is where the person moves the tumah, and heset is where the tumah being human, moves the mekabel. That's all the word heset means. It's useful to know that it's reverse of masa. Medras is again a special chumrah of nida and yeledes and zov and zova, that if they put their pressure, their weight, on a cane which is made for sitting or lying on, i.e. a chair, a bed, a blanket, and that is called medras. We know sometimes the term mishkav and moishav, and we know the word medras. The first thing to know is that mishkav and moishav is exactly the same thing as medras. The terms are interchangeable. So a zov zov and nidavirevis, let's just recap, is metame b'maga if you touch them, it's metame b'masa if you move them, you brush past them, and your body moves them. They are metame b'heset if they move you, and the metame b'medris is the word for no movement involved. They just put their weight on a chair. It can be a massive rock in between. As long as their weight is transferred onto a kli, and that kli is made, it's ro'ui, the mishkav emotion, it's made for sitting and lying on, then that kli will become tome, and will become so tome to actually become an ava tome as well. But that's the terms heset and medras, and they only apply to zov zov and nidavi ledis. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Right, we've done the hard bit. Because you can do medras without touching. There could be 10 blankets between, there could be a stone in between. Imagine you have a blanket, a massive rock on the blanket, a rock is not in the kabel tumah, and the zov, or the nida, sits on top of the rock. There's no mada, there's a massive chatzitz in between. So therefore, the blanket will still become an ava tumah because the transfer of weight is a form of being metame. There's to be no movement, so you can't use masa and hesed, there's to be no physical touch. All you've got is a weight transfer, and that's called medrash. Third one, third method of transmission is Oyer HaMeis. This is the one we're used to, and if any Kohenim here, I mean, any Kohenim is mechuyev, there's no doubt about it, to get to grips with Hilchos Tumas Meis and Oyer. Oyer, of course, in the, as a Masechta, Masechta Olos is the hardest Masechta in Taharis. And the way Tumah works in Oyer is extremely difficult and complex, but fascinating. Basically, the way Oyer HaMeis works, I just use some as a model of the way the Ketores work in the Beis HaMikdash. How does the Ketores work? Ketores was put fire and coal, the smoke goes up. Right? It hits the ceiling. What does smoke do when it hits the ceiling? It then spreads underneath the surface of the ceiling, and when it gets to the walls, what does it do? It goes down, and then slowly fills the room. So the oil, it doesn't take as long as that. With oil, it's instantaneous. What oil does is, Tumas Meis, special. Apart from Mado and Maso, the Tumas goes up, always goes up and down. In the first instance, Oyer HaMeis, it goes up and down. As soon as it hits the underneath of a surface, right? And as long as you had a rise of a Tefach, it was able to rise a Tefach. And that surface is a Tefach by a Tefach. The Tumas will spread underneath that surface, come down again, and basically the Meis fills up that whole space. That's Oyer HaMeis. It is extremely complex to give that it's there, because that's the way Tumah is transmitted through Meis. In that line, I've also got Bias Metzora. A Metzora walks into a room, he's also Metanei things in the room, but the Geber, it's a little bit different from Oyer HaMeis. It's a bit weaker. With a Metzora, if Metzora wants to walk into Shul and not be Metanei everybody else, all he has to do is have a Mechitza of 10 Tzvachim between him and everybody else. The Tumah doesn't go across a valid Mechitza. So it's a different concept from Oyer HaMeis, but I put it in there because it's also a form of Tumah being transmitted without any physical touch or contact. Those are the methods that Tumah moves from object A to object B. As long as you haven't got a Tefach by a Tefach, if you've got a wall in between, if you have a small hole of a Tefach by a Tefach, the Tumah will creep through. You don't say Gudachis, because you don't say Lovers and Gudachis from Tumah. Say more in Sukkah. Tara mitumah. How does Tumah disappear? Of course, apart from the normal Shalshedes Havora, when Tumah just eventually fades out after a number of transmissions, a human being, the only way a man can get rid of Tumah is to go into a mikvah. There's nothing else that can be done. In the case of Meis, of course, mikvah is not enough. We know from the Prophet, etc. He has to wait 7 days, and he has to have, on top of the mitzvah, which on the 7th day before that, he has to have azor from the Mechafos, from the Korah Adumah, on day 3 and day 7. There's no other way that a person can get rid of tumah. Kalim have the same dinim. A Kali also goes into the mikvah, and in the case of Meis, we know that a Kalim also has to have azor, gimel, vazayin, sprinkling on the Parah Adumah on day 3 and 7, just like an Adam. Except Kalim have one other method, which is Shavira. You break the Kli, and it cannot be used for its original function. And there are various dealings of how, what's called Shavira, how you if you have a Kli which is used for function A, and I want to use it for function B, how it changes the intervening periods. But another method of Tara for Kalim is Shavira. Klicheres, I didn't put here, Klicheres, you cannot do Tvila on a Klicheres. Klicheres, the only way to entire Klicheres is to smash it. Oichelin or Mashkin, food and drink, you cannot put them into a mikvah. I put here Sirchoin, when they go off. The only way food and drink can lose their tumah, it's like Shavira in a way, is when the food or drink become Nistol Mechid Asakelev, they basically lose their status as food and drink. And in the case of water only, there's a special exception to the rule, it's called Hashoka. With water, you can't tovel water, but what you can do is, you can be mevatel the water to the mikvah. You take a bucket of water, which is tummy, you want to make it tire, you dip the bucket in, so one little bit of the water kisses the mikvah, that water in the bucket now becomes bottle to the ground, to the mikvah. becomes tohor, and then as soon as you lift it up, it's not the same water anymore, and that's another way that osel and mashkin can become tohor. That is seder taharas. Only question is all very nice. Am I nafka mina? Okay, we have all these halachas, tumah, taharas, tumah. Who cares? Now, how does it affect you and me? How does it affect what are the dinim here? Sorry. Yeah, but I'm told Mashiach comes. What happens? So what? So what is your tummy? What is it? We have to know the effects. We learn the whole seder. It's important to know why one is learning the seder. First, an odom. Why? What's the nafka mina if an odom is tummy? Well, a bit of a circular question. But first thing I put here, because if a person has to know the tummy, because then he knows if he can transmit tummy to something else. That's really deferring the answer. Yes, it's important to know whether you're tummy, because you have to know whether you have the ability to in the tummy something else. Of course, the first to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, there are actually three levels. There's Yerushalayim, there's the Har HaBayis, and there's the Machne Shechina, the Azor itself, depending on your level of tumah, depending on how far you can go. A Metzora can't go anywhere near, can't even enter Yerushalayim. Those type of Zov, Zov, and Nidav, Yeledeth can walk into Yerushalayim, they can't go into the precinct of the Beis HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis. And the Tommy Mace can basically, with the rice, go all the way up to the doors of the Azara. It's just the Azara itself he can't go into. And going into the Beis HaMikdash Batumah, in fact, very interesting enough today, why can't one go into the Mokam HaMikdash today? Because we're Tommy. So why can't we go to the Mikvah? The Mikvah takes away 80% of Tumas, 90% of Tumas. We could. What would be left of this Tommy Mace? But Tommy Mace is allowed to go into the Har HaBayis, actually. He can't go too far in case he hits the Mokam HaMikdash. So really speaking, Taralotha, a Rav couldn't really stop you going to the Mikvah, waiting for the evening, and climbing just over the wall behind the coastal, because it's actually mutter. But because we're so scared of where the Heichel, where the Azorah starts, so you will not get a Heter. But technically, one could walk into the outer perimeter of the Har HaBayis today by going into the Mikvah, getting rid of all Tumas except for Tumas Mace.
But many young people are not Tumas Mace either.
Most young people
are not Tumas Mace. So you're there for that.
I mean, if you assume that a Goy is not Matame, but Oyel, Midoraisa, then you'd probably be correct. Well, I'm saying it's got to be a Jewish Mace. Because otherwise you'll be coming with the Rabbana, and if I go to the Vaya, very often one doesn't realise you get quite close to the car, there's a tree overhead, and that's it, you become so. I would suggest that most people, sorry?
Go to hospital?
Yeah, it has to be a Jewish mace. If you go to hospital, don't notice as well, you must become Tommy. To eat kodshim, if any meat of Karbonis, when the person is Tommy, then it's a koris. Truma and Masa Sheni. Kohen eats Truma when he's Tommy, of course, it's an Issa Misa. Masa Sheni, which is every person eating Yerushalayim. Most of the food sold in Yerushalayim is Masa Sheni. You wouldn't be allowed to eat it when the person is Tomei. Of course, I put in Kohen Venotah the Mace. This is a halacha, not so much what you're not allowed to do if you become Tomei. It's more how you have to avoid becoming Tomei in the first place, and that's very important for Kohen. Kalim, the Ma'an Afkamun if a Kali is Tomei. Of course, the standard one, it can be passed on Toma further. That's the most important thing. But otherwise, there is actually no Afkamun. There is a Gemara in Erevin that is allowed to actually take a kli, which is tummy, and bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. There's a malchus for that. But apart from that, there's no actual ramification to a kli being tummy, apart from the fact that it is a medium to pass the tumah on to the next stage. Finally, the ochel and the mashkin, food and drink, of course, they are also ba'achila. If the food is either kodshim, or itself truma or Masa Sheni, and the man, the person who's eating, the consumer, is Tahir, it's the same as an Issa, so it's important to know whether truma or kodshim. That would say the Tahir is in a nutshell, and it's a shame we should have to be able to use our office to call it.